Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is your host, your messenger, the Apostle W.J. Armstrong, and I will not have the pleasure today of my co-host, Evangelist Director Cunningham. Welcome to Words That Work. It's not what you say, it's what the people hear and feel. That was a title given to me for a time like this. And as I was thinking about this for today, and as I was thinking about what was going on in the world today, what some of the events that took place since the last time we had gathered, and it's interesting. I want you to take your pencil and paper and write down these songs. It was in the time since we've been together, given 6 songs. One was the whole prayer of David as I was lamenting over what's happening in America is going on in the political arena, and why is it that you have all these people continue to follow a person that when you line up fruits, and a part of it, when you line up its fruits with policies, with the words, they don't line up. It comes back void. And then I was given Psalm 91, which is a song of protection. And then I was given Psalm 94. And then I was given Psalm 2. And we're going to start the day with 2. And I'm not exactly sure how far we're going to get. But whenever I read Psalm 2 and put it in context with what's happening here in America now, at the political arena, the economic arena, and the educational arena as well. Why are these people behaving the way they're behaving? And yet we profess to be a follower of the teaching of Jesus. We profess to be a nation under God. And I began to wrestle with it and ask the question, who is God? Who is the God that these people are talking about? Who is the God that we say we serve? Who is this God? Or what is it? And then whenever I read this, I want you to sit and think about it. First, I'm going to read the first 3 songs and first 3 verses, and that's the way we're going to take that. That's, and we're going to unpack them as we go along. Let us pray. Almighty God, I come to you now, thanking you and praising you, and asking for your listeners, you give them that which you gave me out of their understanding. And as I ask, that let your Holy Spirit reveal to me what your words are saying and how it is applied to our daily living. And as we, the listeners, I'm saying we, the listeners, because I'm listening as well, we open our eyes, our natural eyes are open. Our natural ears are open. But it appears that we are only hearing and seeing what we want to hear and see. And that doesn't line up with your word, because for some of us it is fearful. For some of us it makes us angry. And I just ask that let your word bring comfort to us as we read it, reflect on it in this time. Yeah, it was written for people thousands of years ago, but you made it clear that there's nothing new under the sun. So what was written for them may be applicable for us in this day and in this time. In your beloved Son's name, amen. Psalm 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. And I think this is the New King James Version. At least I hope that's what I printed out. And it reads thus, "Why do the nations rage?" And the footnote says, "Why do the Gentiles?" Instead of nation, why do the Gentiles? And then rage has a footnote, long them. I was distracted. Sorry. The moose, I don't know why I'm having issues speaking. In other words, rage, it gives us another meaning for the word, another word for rage, another word that means rage. And then it says, "Why? And the people plot a vain thing." Now, vain has a footnote as well. And that means worthless or empty. And demonstrously, that's the word for rage. "Then the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together." And why are they taking counsel together? "Against the Lord and against his anointed." Okay. Who is his anointed? Another footnote. It says Christ. It says the commissioned one, but the Messiah, the Hebrew Messiah, is anointed. We're talking about the Messiah, saying, "Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us." I took and went back. What does that word cord mean? I know it could be a rope. It could be something that holds something together. And with it, when I looked at it the way it's used, the meaning is God's laws. And cast away their laws from us. Now that's the verse 3, and I'm going to read them all together. "Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing?" Question. "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. They're lost. Whenever we read it with the footnotes in it, we get a different meaning from if we just read it the way that it was translated. Why did the Gentiles rage, thrown to Moses today? Talking about the Gentiles. Now, let us, as we go there, let's take a look at this. Let's see if we can put some context to this. And we see that the rage of the nation and the wrath of God. It says the psalmist seemed to be dealing with what? What's the feelings? His feelings at that time. Remember now, words have meaning. We just looked at those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words that was in those 3 verses. They have meaning. Nation. Some version put Gentiles. So mostly a rage, vain, worthless, worthless or empty, has anointed Messiah. When you put those words in there and take the ones out, you get a different meaning. You hear different things. You have a different feeling. So, and you have different questions pops in your head. I want you to think about words that work. Words that work for you might not necessarily work for me. And vice versa. Words that worked at the time that this was written might not work for us in the time that we are living. So we need to translate the words in a word or phrase that we can understand. We will be able to define, and that it makes sense in the time like this. It says, when you look at this, you some question, why? And you look at it now. Look at what's happening now. And you ask the question, you the believer now, you that have a relationship with the Creator, are saying, why are these people doing what they're doing? Don't they know that they're going to be held accountable? Look at the wars. Look at those who are trying to start wars. Look at how they are robbing their citizens of their birthright. Don't they understand that the laws that was given, God's laws, remember now, break the cords, it says, and cast away, that break their bonds in pieces. So the Creator and I have a bond. We're bonded. We have a relationship. We have a covenant. And here they want to cast away the laws that govern those covenants. This cord, according to the way it's used, and whenever you do the research and look it up, they're talking about God's laws. That's the way it's used in this script for this verse. The word cord represent God's laws. So, and cast away God's laws from us. We get into this. And when we do that, it really begins to make sense. And you will be able to understand why the Russia and Ukraine are at war. By looking at what's coming out of the mouth of the leaders of the two countries and take what's coming out of their mouth and line it up with God's word, with God's laws, you come up with a way that you can understand why this is going on. And you go back, the word said there'll be wars and rumors of wars. So what caused the war? It says the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers counseled together. And if you, I'm a student of history as well. You go back several years, like 6 years ago, when we had different leadership, and you look at what that leader said, and you look at what the leader that started the war did, and now if that leader that was there was here now, that was here then, that would be an altogether different configuration of what's taking place there now. I want you to think about it. I can tell you what I think. I can tell you what I sense or what I feel or what I hear. And I can tell you from the natural as well as the spiritual. If you look at it from history, what is history? History is his story. Then you look at it from a spiritual thing, then you have to line it up with God's word. And God's word captures the laws. Don't mystify. I mean, look, why are they doing what they're doing? Do they have a reason for doing what they're doing? I mean, a serious reason. That's compelling them. A need. Not a desire, but a need. They have no reason to come together and be doing what they are doing. And who are they raging against? Not only are the people, but the Creator. They're destroying nature. They're destroying the earth. They're destroying the material that the people made from the earth. And who gave us the earth? I know some of you are being turned off, but that's fine. I know some of you are saying that that's for you, just stretching it. But go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 made it clear who is has stewardship over the earth. And a lot of people have a limited definition of earth. Why are they doing what they're doing? There you go on. what benefits are they deriving? Who's benefiting from this? And then you sit down again and you line it up with the word. Who's benefiting? Is God, the Creator, benefiting from this? From the people he created are being slaughtered? The earth he created being destroyed? Now, let's stand word. And you Google it. Who creates confusion? That's the purpose of the devil. What does he do? He comes to steal. Apply that to what's happening. Kill. Apply that to what's happening. Destroy. Apply that to what's happening. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's what war does. I want to think of who's benefiting from this. The people are not. Creator's not. The enemy is. But that even that opposition or that rage against God, that disobedience against God, it's vain. They're going to lose. So why would an individual or individuals engage in activity where they know they're going to lose? Maybe they don't believe in the Creator that we believe in, that is in the Holy Book. And see, those rulers, you can name them, put names there. You see, men have been coming together. You go all the way back in Babylon. They were coming together back then. And they continue to come together. Nimrod knows they were building a tower into the heavens. They came together to do that. But what happened? The Creator came down and destroyed that and scattered the people. I mean, you know, those two guys were buddy buddies. They were supporting each other. And they were coming, plotting to do things that was against the Creator. And let's go on to the next one. They were fighting against who? Against the Lord and against his anointed. Against the Messiah. Think of it. Who won when Messiah was here before? The Messiah won. In his own way, he defeated the rulers at the time. He did not. And he defeated the enemy with the word. He just came and told the enemy, it is written. And the enemy fled from him. That opposition that's coming, that's taking place, by those leaders, they're going against the word of the Creator. And by going against the word of the Creator, who wins in the end? And you see, the Messiah is going to win. You're opposing the Father. You're opposing the Son. And if you're against the Messiah, you're against the Father. We have to think about the meaning. We have to think about what is people saying and what are the consequences of what they're saying. Okay, let us go on. Let us break their bonds in pieces. What are we talking about again? We were just talking about those who oppose God, those who are disobedient, those who are opposing the Lord and His anointing. Just think about it. Bond is something that holds something together. And if you're going to break that into pieces, means you're breaking the relationship between the people and their God. And I just saw classical example of that with the conservative evangelical Christians. They have people doing things and believing stuff and doing it, which is going against the will of God. But they think that it's okay. They think they're doing it in God's name. I want you to think about it. Whenever I dealt with the first three, I was able to move towards a place, a quiet place, because I went back to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. So we pray for all people, including those who are in authority. And by going through this, I gain insight and understanding and discernment into how I should be praying for those who are in authority. Am I to be praying, thanking them for what they're doing that doesn't line up with the word? No. And not only I gain understanding as well. So now let's deal with the next two verses. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Think about it. I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Now, if we just take that This is God's response to what the rulers are doing, for what is happening in the earth. According to this, according to the psalmist, God is amused by what they're doing. The Lord laughs from heaven. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them accountable. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath, his displeasure. He will bring judgment on them and distress them in his deep displeasure. And he makes it clear. He said, this really got to me. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. He made it clear that his king is higher than the kings on this earth, and that he will set his king on his holy hill. I mean, it's interesting. So now that's a footnote. Yet I have supposed to set, yet I have installed my king upon Zion, the hill of my holiness, as opposed to on my holy hill of Zion. Words have meaning. And he made it clear. He not only set him there, he installed him there, which gives you a different meaning than set. I can set my son there. He's just sitting there. Does he have power and authority to do anything? Would the people look to him? And as they look to him, will they respect him? Now, if I install my son in an office, install anyone in an office, the power and authority that's in the office become that of the individual that has been installed in that office. And to be installed in that office says that you are higher than those kings, those earthly kings, because all power and authority come from the Creator. And it says, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. You know how you laugh at people who think that they're getting over on you? It's amusing. So here God is, he's looking at the way man is plotting against him. He's not afraid or confused or depressed or anything. He just laughs at it. He found it to be comical. Who is it that man that he made? He created them whenever they were in their mother's womb. And all of a sudden now, they're going to come together and attack him? He gave them the breath of life. So now let's just think about this. So why are we afraid of those politicians? Why are we afraid of those, of the enemy? Why are we afraid of those persons that are following false teaching and false doctrine? Why? Whenever we have the authority, been given the authority by the Creator. And we're going to get there. Who gave it to us? See, he's laughing. God is laughing. Because he's not impacted by what's happening here on this earth. He's in heaven. Now, that is those of you who believe that there is such place as a heaven. Now, if it doesn't, you don't believe that there's a heaven, then that what I just said doesn't mean anything to you. So, of course, you're going to continue doing what you were doing. And you think that you are going to be the one that's going to be victorious. He sits as he is the one he's the creator. He created a king. There is nowhere that the created is going to be greater than the creator. I mean, he's not going to, he's stressing. You know how we go to whenever we're stressing, when we don't, it doesn't impact us now the way it did before we accepted the word. We accepted the Creator, the Love Son. I just want us to be clear. Be clear. So you know. So you know. Take a moment and think about what you heard thus far. All right. Did you think about put yourself in God's position? And you were one to sit there with the power and people attacking you. Whenever you could just withdraw the breath out of them and they would be no more. I could just think of lots of reasons why he was would be laughing. He's not concerned about what they should do next or what they're going to do next. He's at peace. If you want to use the word perfect in front of it, that's fine. He's perfect peace and assurance. He is in control. If you want to use that term. And he laughed because he sits in the heaven. It isn't an earthly. It's not earthly. He's not down here. His throne down here. Just think about it. His throne is elevated where he has authority over all creation. So now if he has authority over all creation, why would he be fearful of what a few little humans are down here doing? I just look at it as it's hilarious. And these people, they think they're getting away with something. They really do. He is not. He's not hiding from them. He He's not sitting there trying to figure out how many enemies he has, and so he can figure out how many angels he needs to dispatch. He's not that concerned. Who they challenge in his kingdom? Now let's just think about that. This kingdom was challenged before, and the person lost. Not only lost, but lost the heavenly position that that person had. He just laughed. It's funny. And see, we should find comfort in God's laughter. We who are believers, we who are chosen by Him, we who are keeping His laws, His constructs, we who fruits line up with His word, we should find joy in His laughter. Because in the laughter, His demonstrate His strength, His courage, His authority. He's comfortable with His authority. He's comfortable knowing that He has the final say. And he understands suffering. He's not exhorting that laughter. Doesn't mean that he's, to me, that laughter is more, His mercy. Look at them down there. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand. He's still having compassion for them. He's not being proud. He's not boasting. And He's not seeking revenge. He's not being violent. They are attacking Him. And when we look at what's happening now, we see that He had made a covenant with certain people, certain of His believers. And we see that that covenant is being broken by men. And we see other things, how they put false teaching, false doctrine, how they just out and out lie people to do what it is that they decided they're big enough to do. You know, my ancestors, one of the things that they used to say, well, one thing, whenever you were a teenager and you were trying to flex your little muscle, you trying to stand up to the ancestors. And they say, he's smelling his musk. And that was funny to them. They understood where you are, or where we were. They understood where they were. They understood that who was in control of the situation. That's similar to the way God is looking at America. God is looking at these other nations that are coming together to attack. Then if we look at the Lord's going to hold them, holding them accountable. And you see these across time and space. You see how man has opposed God and his kingdom. And what happened to them? See, I don't understand how we don't learn from our past. We don't learn. We don't learn from that which, from those who've gone before us. And because of that, we would suffer the consequences. We're going to suffer. We're going to suffer individually, collectively, and we're going to suffer as a nation. Because in his sight, the people are the nations. And what happened to the men? If we look at it historically, are they here? The empires that they ruled over, are they still in existence? Look at the Roman Empire. We see Caesar and all of them was during the time of the Messiah. Are they here now? No. And they were busy trying to stamp out the Christians. Well, stamp out the following of the teaching of Jesus. That's still going on. The enemy is still here. The enemy is still trying to cause confusion and chaos to take place among the body. I want you to just look at history. Again, that's his story now. We look the word, H-I-S, his story, S-T-O-R-Y. Think about it. What does history say that happened to those people? And what is sister saying about the one that they were trying to stamp out, that they were trying to kill, that they were trying to oppress, and the people that was following him? Almost 2,000 years later, Jesus the Christ, Yahshua, is still here. His gospel is being spread across the earth now. And it's unstoppable. But yet, they go on. So, as our ancestors would say, which wagon are you going to attach yourself to? Wagon. And the other thing they say, by and by, we'll know, you'll understand it by and by. But for some of those people, by and by, they transition out of here. And they're still waiting for the by and by. We cannot overcome the wrath. He's laughing And one day, what's going to happen when they stop laughing? What happens whenever you talk to your child and you tell your child to do something? And it takes a while for it to sink in what it is that you said to him. And sometimes you have to take and use a different tactic to get him to him or her to understand, to hear, not just understand, to hear the meaning of that which you said. Because, and if they don't respond appropriately, you take action. You don't just stay there laughing. God's not going to stand there and just continue to laugh and laugh and laugh. He going to stop laughing and take action against mankind. What happened with the flood? I want you to really think about this and see how it applies to our present-day situation and circumstances. God does what? What did he do? He sent a warning to the people before he acted. He warned them. They chose, if you chose not to heed to the warning, there are consequences. Consequences. And the consequences, if you don't heed to the warning, you're not going to lack the consequences. And he goes on. And this will be the end of this for today, which be Psalm 2, verses 1 through 6. When he says, I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Now let's read it the other way. It says, yet I have installed my king upon Zion, the hill of my holiness. He's making it clear. You leaders have no authority, no power over my. And I have installed him. And see, he wanted them to know that he established and he installed the king, King Jesus of Nazareth. Not the Jesus that was created by the Western European in their image, but the Greek made it clear that they could not worship anybody that didn't look like them. Nor could they worship anybody that they didn't see. So, all men, now nations, that apply, not just to the leaders, now it applies to all of us. Not just to political leaders, it applies to spiritual leaders, the leaders of the education system. Look at what's happening now with the school board, leaders of the school board. They're intimidating the teachers. They're blaming the teachers. They're banning books. Even I understand one district out in the Midwest to remove the Bible from the elementary and middle schools because of the policy, the law that they had set up governing what could be the content of the books. And one person, one parent, wrote, I think this was an eight page, about what's in the Bible that would cause it to have to be banned according to the criteria that they have created. Think about it. See, oh, we ran out of time. We will pick up here next week. The judge told we have 90 seconds. Let's pray, Almighty Everlasting Creator, I ask you to bring clarity to that which was said today. I gain insight, more insight into your word, and I gain insight into what is going on around me. And I just thank you and praise you. And I trust those who hear, was listening, that they receive a greater understanding. And they will be able to discern where and how they could walk and not be weary. And the time is this. Amen.